coming up, how the Board of Fish changed the 2018 season for Lynn Canal's fishermen, and what's keeping ferries away this week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. Haines and Skagway residents have to wait another couple days for ferry service this week. Forecasted high winds and freezing spray canceled the state ferry Leconte for the third time since Friday. If the Leconte sails up Lynn Canal at the end of the week, it will have been about 10 days since Haines and Skagway had ferry service. Department of Transportation spokesperson Aura Landau says weather is standing in the way of the next scheduled sailing.
The Leconte sailings for Tuesday, January 30th have been canceled. Forecast is for 55 to 70 knot winds, 11 foot seas, and freezing spray.
Landau says the Leconte also had a mechanical issue, but it shouldn't affect trips later this week.
There was a steering gear malfunction on the Leconte today, so the sailing to Gustavus has been canceled. The Coast Guard gave the Leconte permission to return to Auk Bay. We expect the vessel to be in fine shape for its next sailing.
Haines and Skagway haven't seen a state ferry since January 23rd. Weather took out Leconte sailings on Friday and Sunday. The ferry Columbia was taken out of service earlier this month for repairs.
The repair on the Columbia took a little bit longer than expected. The crew has been on board, and we expect them to be done very shortly with a couple of days cushion before the Columbia leaves Bellingham on the 2nd. So we're still looking at the Columbia arriving in the Haines-Skagway area on the 5th.
That's next Monday. Weather permitting, the Leconte is scheduled to sail the Northern Lynn Canal on Friday, February 2nd. On Wednesday morning, early rising Alaskans and a few night owls will be treated to a celestial trifecta, a super blue blood moon. A supermoon is when the moon will be at its closest to the Earth, making it appear bigger and brighter. It's also a blue moon because it's the second full moon of the month. And it's a lunar eclipse, causing the moon to appear blood red for the same reason our sunsets look red. The Earth's atmosphere will scatter blue light and cast the moon in red while also casting our planet's shadow on the moon. Omega Smith is the planetarium manager at University of Alaska Anchorage. She says it's the first super blue blood moon in about 150 years.
It's a pretty spectacular event, but it is pretty much going on all night long, so it's not something that's just one moment. So for astrophotographers, you can go out and capture as the shadow of the Earth goes across the moon, and it makes some spectacular photos.
She says full moons aren't normally great for stargazers because the light normally drowns out the stars.
But as the Earth kind of takes away some of the light, kind of casts a shadow across the moon, you'll notice a lot of background stars easier to see because the lunar light's not drowning them out. So it's really good to go actually view stars and pull out your telescopes and look at deep sky objects on a lunar eclipse as well.
The eclipse will begin about 2:45 a.m., peaking at about 4:30 a.m. to 5 a.m. It will end about 7 a.m. Meteorologist Brian Besnick says in Juneau and Southeast Alaska, the prospects aren't great.
The northern half of the panhandle, which would include the city of Juneau and the surrounding area, there'll be a little bit better chance of seeing the lunar eclipse when it happens. However, I'm thinking that it's going to be fairly cloudy. There might be a few breaks.
Cooler temperatures may help with clearer skies. Temperatures will likely be in the low teens. When the Board of Fish finished its triennial meeting last week, action plans were passed to protect king salmon disappearing from the Chilkat and other rivers around Southeast. The next step? Breaking that plan to fishermen. As expected, commercial, sport, and subsistence fisheries will feel the pinch as they start harvesting salmon this year. Many will see repeats of last summer's restrictions, including subsistence and charter fishermen. Gillnetters and trollers will see their fishing access whittled down even farther. Gillnetting is the primary commercial fishery in Lynn Canal. Gillnetters target sockeye and chum from Dye Pack Hatchery near Juneau. but they occasionally net kings. With 2017's emergency restrictions imposed on the fishery, managers estimate the gillnet fleet caught just under 5% of the total harvest of kings headed up Lynn Canal to spawn, about 10 fish. Haines's fish and game biologist, Wyatt Ray Fournier, says the Board of Fish set up new rules to steer fishermen around those kings.
The gillnetters did have to take more restrictions when it comes to time and area. Most of that is happening just in the first couple weeks of the fishery. We have our highest overlap with king migration during the first 3 weeks.
Upper Lynn Canal is divided into two fishing areas, the north and the south. For the first 5 weeks, the northern half is only open on the east side of the canal, south of Eldred Rock. For the first 2 weeks, the lower end is open in the boat harbor, where chums from Dipak congregate, and the area south of Vanderbilt Reef. Both areas will see night closures to protect young king salmon who come out after dark. After that, Fish and Game will make in-season decisions about expanding fishing areas for gillnetters. Will Presciandero has been a Lynn Canal gillnetter for 9 years, and he represents Haines gillnetters at USAG, the United Southeast Gillnetters Association.
There are, I think, 57, somewhere between 57 and 60 gillnet permits in Haines. Out of the, I think the total is 473 in Southeast right now.
Presciandero attended the meeting, weighing in as board members used Fish and Game data to figure out where king salmon might be during the summer. They consulted with biologists and fishermen to come up with new guidelines.
Time and area are what make us money. So when we get shrunk on time or area, it usually cuts down in overall profits.
Presciandero says he knows restrictions for the gillnet fleet are based on good data, but they still hurt. That early part of the season is a critical time to start earning cash.
They can track migration of the adults up, so they're basing their restrictions on when they see the movement of those through the different fleets in Southeast all the way up to the river.
As the fishery which primarily targets kings, the trolling fleet will share the gillnetters' pain. Trolling for winter kings may close 6 weeks early across Southeast. In Upper Lynn Canal and Chilcat Inlet, it may remain closed for the rest of the year. It'll likely be a tough season for both gear groups, especially for those who were hoping the restrictions they saw last year were enough. Ray Fournier says that's the scenario sport and subsistence fishermen will see.
We had been receiving calls from our charter fishermen. There's only about 3 or 4 boats in Skagway and 3 or 4 boats in Haines. And they had already been practicing some high conservation measures. They had been doing catch and release king salmon fishing.
One of Fish and Game's potential ideas was to delay all sport fishing in Lynn Canal.
Which means those charter fishermen were essentially out of business for the first couple months. That was a deep concern because they were already beginning to take, you know, deposits for charter trips.
After getting feedback from the fleet, the board decided to stick with last year's rules throughout Southeast. You can sport fish for kings, but you can't keep them. And in high-risk places like Chilcat Inlet, sport fishing at all is forbidden through June. Vinny Simpkin runs the charter business, I Fish Haines, and he says he would have been open to deeper cuts.
Even the catch-and-release survival rate is mediocre at best. And so to go out and catch and release, you know, is, I don't want to say just as detrimental as retaining, but you're still detrimentally affecting the, you know, the life of our king fam.
Simpkin says, given the returns, he stopped fishing for kings last year anyway to focus on halibut and other species. Some user groups don't have that option. Subsistence users of Chilcat salmon stocks are facing the same fishing restrictions as last year, Ray Fournier says.
Last year was fairly unprecedented in that we did not leave the river open 7 days a week. We had reduced it down so it was only open 4 days a week during the Chinook migration.
The June 15th to end of July opening from 19 Mile to Wells Bridge will be reduced to 4 days a week again this year. The president of the Clukwan Tribal Council, Kimberly Strong, wrote the board to say those closures were a hardship. Even though they're designed to protect kings, they made it difficult for people to gather enough sockeye to last through the winter, since the fish needs to cure in the dry days of June to avoid getting moldy. While the new rules for each fishery can at first confuse even the most seasoned mariner, the bottom line is clear. The fewest number of Chilcat River Chinooks ever are predicted to return this summer, a trend that's being echoed in king salmon rivers across Southeast. Everyone who depends on salmon in the region will face the consequences. For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.